Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
And welcome to the AEW Collision Preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by another one of Dudley Boy, Michael Sidgwick from What Culture, to look ahead to do this weekend's episode, even, of AEW Collision. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and YouTube, where we do daily wrestling podcasts where we not only review AEW Collision, but also AEW Dynamite, Raw, SmackDown, the show formerly known as NXT 2.0. Oh! Pay-per-views, premium live events, we have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on Wrestle Culture. As I said, though, joined by Michael Sidgwick to look ahead to this weekend's episode of AEW Collision. Obviously, some of the podcasts that we do are visual. You can see them on YouTube. Just know that me and Sidgwick are presenting this podcast both wearing neck braces. That was a good bit of patter on the draft, wasn't it?
Good bit of patter. Look, it's a fool's errand to mourn the loss of Ernest Heaton Pro Wrestling. Realistically, you have to do something unbelievably tremendous once a year if you're bloody lucky to actually feel something for a babyface and not just go, oh, that was really well done. I'll be invested at a level below, you know what I mean? But the idea of, oh, you know, your beloved guy who saved wrestling just, you know, and the sort of thing that never happens in AEW, he's got a really bad neck injury after taking a vile, vile assault. And then the reaction literally 24 hours later is, how based is Tony Khan for selling that fake injury? You know what I mean?
People couldn't decide as well. I love it when the internet community gets like this and they can't settle on what the bad thing is. So there was one half of the people saying, what is Tony Khan doing? Disregarding the bump, hilarious though it was, and the whole story, right? Some people were saying, Tony Khan's such an idiot. Why was he helped out of the ring after Dynamite instead of being put on like a board with a neck brace and stuff on? Like, he's completely undersold that move. And then the other half were like, why is he wearing a neck brace for the NFL draft? What is it then? A or B, or is it just whatever fits the narrative?
I'll tell you one thing. Regardless of my feelings, which were conflicted, but my broad takeaway was fake wrestling angle. It sparked the imagination of a lot of people, even if it's kind of become a meme, as most things do. Nothing can be sincere anymore. AEW has been accused for ages of just doing some self-contained things where there's not an enormous like impetus to watch next week. There's not like many hooks. Mm. There's some great stuff. They do tell stories. We're not going over that. But it's rare that you get an actual, honest-to-God television cliffhanger, and they've done it.
Yeah.
I am like, next week's preview is going to be a lot different than how good's this match going to be. We know who's going to win, but how good's this match going to be? There'll be an element of that, but I'm really fascinated by the follow-up.
Yeah, there could be a complete takeover of the show.
In fact, how do they do it tonight? Should we talk about that?
Yeah, that's a good point, actually, because obviously we know that with the parking lot brawl, for example, Khan's obviously, has it was already reported yesterday, he was selling it wearing a neck brace and what have you. So the vague continuation of AEW rolls on. But arguably here, Yeah, how do they handle it? Or do they just hype up, we'll deal with this on Wednesday? Or how will this show look? This was already planned out by AEW higher-ups in the week, hence why we know Swerve did what he did. We'll talk about that in a minute.
Yes.
Did what he did on Dynamite and then is subsequently getting to open this show. But next week's wasn't in the docket yet. And now the inmates might be running the asylum sort of thing.
Yeah, I don't know. It feels a bit not at AEW. We'll see. We will see. I will go into it with a positive mind, I promise. It's weird. If you look at precedent, okay, what happened? Oh, when... There's precedent for this exact thing with these exact characters. When the Young Bucks, wearing the white suits, attacked Sting's kids, bloodied Darby and put the blood all over the suits. If you recall, on the subsequent episode of Collision, both Eddie Kingston and Adam Copeland,
mm-hmm.
in a really, really... I love it when it feels like there's an actual world with characters that acknowledge everything else going on in the world and it's all interconnected. Copeland and Christian, just as incidental asides, said during their promos on Collision that week, like, you've really messed up. You better hope we don't run into you next mm-hmm. time that you're in the building or whatever. At a minimum, I don't know if everyone has to say something. There are certainly some characters who probably shouldn't care about Tony Khan. But the baby faces across this show, up and down, you have to treat it with gravity, even if it's been received as a meme, if that makes any sense, you know? Swerve Strickland, who we'll get to, is opening the show with a promo. He absolutely has to at least spend one line saying, to be fair, he might be working Jack Perry at Double or Nothing if our fantasy booking happens.
Yes.
Which we'll reiterate here if we get time. He should say something. I don't know who.
Even else if it's just a lighthearted, I can't really talk about putting people, your hands on people you shouldn't put your hands on sort of thing.
That's the sort of thing. It's like, yeah, I might be a hypocrite here, but whatever. It's funny you mentioned that, Wilborn. That's a really good point. Like, what can he possibly say? It's when you do a lot of beyond the pale stuff, like you did with Hammond Page's baby or Nick Wayne, you kind of. You're denting your credibility as a character if you do the 180 pivot and say that's disgusting, reprehensible. Who would do such a thing? So that's interesting.
Well, you could utilize that for a Hangman Page return subsequently, not immediately, obviously, but like, say, you're a bloody hypocrite. Yeah, you do all this to me and then you say this is right. Yeah.
But I don't know which other baby faces are booked for the show. There's not a great deal announced.
No.
At time of recording, we'll get the resurrected Jim Londos versus Bryan Danielson dropping. Announcement graphic at 6 p.m. UK
of course,
time.
Yes.
And we are recording just before lunch. So, yeah. But
been a while since we've done it.
Been a while.
Hasn't it? Because we had like
Dynasty last week.
Dynasty Dynasty and just all around Mania. Our schedules went all over the place. So
I'm just going to start saying Dynasty.
Yeah.
Because that's what I say.
Yeah, exactly. Yanks will get used to it eventually.
I'm going to have to. I mean, I'll tell you what. Unlike the ones that they create to win, they're good sports.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk Swerve then.
I do like basketball.
Mm.
I don't have enough time for a new interest, hobby.
If I was in America for a prolonged period of time, I'd definitely make it a thing to go and see a basketball game.
Basketball would be my sport. I understand that NFL is the big one and that people love it and all the rest of it. In terms of a thing that I personally just enjoy watching is a... When we went to Vegas, I can't even remember the game, but it was like a proper buzzer beater, like an NBA classic, mm-hmm. and it was like getting swept up in that. And I tell you what, I like a good throw as much as anyone. There's something about the sports I gravitate towards in terms of just how beautiful it looks when you win. That's why football's the best. Like, you're telling me, like, a screamer worldie isn't the most aesthetically beautiful thing in sport. Mm. So much better than a try in rugby.
Yes, I agree.
So not being funny, like the best thing in rugby, like a really like well-drilled passing play that results in someone running into an area. Like football's got that.
Yeah.
It's just a goal at the end. And there's
a jinking run or a powerful run from, say, a Jonah Lomu. from back in the day. Well, that's easy if you've got the ball in your hand. Try it at your feet, mate.
Try it at your feet, yeah.
So,
aye. How do we get onto this?
I can't remember. Sports.
Yanks. Dynasty.
Yeah, there we go. But yeah, we questioned. Dynasty. We questioned on the Dynamite review, which is well worth checking out yesterday. We questioned why Swerve was in the position he was. Why didn't he open the show? Why didn't he cut a promo? Why was it the weird Orange Cassidy best friends Chuck Trent stuff that opened it? And we've got somewhat of an explanation here. I still think you could have just had a Swerve match open the show and just not had a promo and said, and the best of both worlds. But yeah, their justification is NBA final stuff is going on right now. That's the lead-in for this show.
It's a huge one.
And it's a big one. I saw the numbers that Meltzer was throwing around on Twitter last night, for example. And you front-load the show, Swerve, first one out there, and hopefully it'll pop a decent rain for him.
Yeah, I'm going to do the thing. Audio podcast, you can't see. I'm holding my hands up right now, and that seems like a good tactical play. Again, though, like, you are inviting criticism. At the very least, they could have had Swerve open the show. It's the sequencing... is the optics of something important happens. Otherwise, you know, they don't put on, you know, Matt Hardy versus Luther to open the show.
Yes.
You know, you put on something good that people will like and, you know, be hot for.
Yeah.
You could have still had him on first, do the Fletcher match, and at the end say, whose house? Swerve's house. I'm your new AEW world champion. I have a mission statement for you. Check out Collision.
Yeah.
I would have probably been, weird that they're not doing it here. But at least you think, oh, there's a direction, a plan. Either way, we're getting it tonight.
Isn't it just like an open challenge?
Well, what troubles me...
Open challenge.
Open challenge. That's TNT champion stuff. You know?
Yeah.
That's the thing, like, there's too many belts in AEW, and if you don't agree, I have no time. You know, there are too many belts. There's no... It used to be that you would have to... in theory, you would have to climb the rankings arduously, score quality wins over high-caliber opponents, and then really get yourself close to that world title picture. TNT was... Right, it's a TV championship and everything except name, and it's a synonym. You can get an open challenge. Like, that was the two... differentiating features between the two male singles championships. What's the difference between the continental and what's the difference between international and world? The synonyms, you know what I mean? It's just ridiculous. So I feel for Swerve because at the minute it seems like the approach is the defending, fighting workhorse champion. That's a TNT, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what Copeland was reiterating, I suppose.
Yeah, so I don't know what they do.
But the reason why I asked about that, A, I want to play a game, and B, that's arguably a hook. If you're opening the show, Swerve's very popular, and you say, so here's Swerve, and stick around because...
There's time allocated for a main event. Who wants it sort of thing? Mm. That's a TNT championship, though.
Mm. But I don't know if Adam Copeland's going to be on this show, so...
Yeah.
If he's not, and they do our idea.
It's time to play the game!
Time to play the game! Ha 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 ha! Who answers Swerve Strickland's open challenge?
And if you were to respond to what I just said, I'm sorry, I had a thought. Oh, what do you do with the TNT Championship? You could realistically just have one. Championship per division.
Yeah.
Men's championship. There's one. Anyway.
We could just have a Samoa Joe rematch, I suppose, technically. But anyway, I'm scrolling through the roster page.
Would I put that in my top 258? I reckon I could think of 250 more matches. Anyway. But I'm having fun now. We're playing a game, guys.
Yeah.
Step.
Pick a number between... Pick a number between 1 and 10.
10? Well, the first thing that comes to my mind is number 9, Alan Shearer.
Okay. I will say if you'd said 6, you'd have had Keith Lee.
which would be amazing, and like the final big payoff.
Eventually. Jesus Christ.
You said, what did you say? Nine.
Nine. Keith. K-E-I-K-E-N. Is it Kenny Omega?
No, he's seven.
Ah, God damn it.
Then comes Killswitch. But number nine is Kip Sabian.
I wouldn't put it past them. I would not put it past
Pro Evo rules.
Pro Evo rules. Let's go. Okay, let's go.
Okay. Someone stop.
Stop.
This is a minefield. I'll just say that. 1 to 10.
No. Number 8, Kieran Dyer.
I don't know why. I don't want to influence you at any time. And I'm always afraid when I say 1 to 10, because I say 10 last, 10's in your head. And you go 10. If you said 10, it'd been Chris Jericho. But you didn't.
No, I didn't. I said 8.
Buddy Matthews.
The thing is, no. I think Buddy Matthews is great.
Could be a class match, that.
Underutilized. Literally, I've watched 2 days ago a late 2010 moves match, and as good as Buddy Matthews is, you know, you want to keep things fresh and different. I wouldn't need to see that match so soon after the Fletcher match.
Mm-hmm.
So let's twist. Who'd have thought that would be the way of it? Can you remember that line from Pro Evo Commentary?
Yes.
Just unlocking the memory for a very small sample of listeners.
Okay, last go. You're stuck with whoever this is.
Stop. If he's still on the roster page, he doesn't count. His contract's expired. If it's Matt Hardy, I'm not.
Oh, no.
It does not count.
He's not even a potential pick here.
Good.
1 to 10.
What number is Bruno, number 6?
You're saying 6. Please tell me you're saying 6.
I think Bruno's 6.
I'll be honest. I don't think this is going to happen. But I bloody would love to see this. You'll be pleased to know if you just said 1. Well, you've got no more. But you said Cease.
It's Bruno number 6. And now he's 30 bloody 9. That's his dad's old taxi rank number.
Ah. Do you want to stick with 6?
Yeah.
Okay.
He essentially plays the role of a number 6.
Yes. you said 6. So picture the scene. Swerve doesn't know. He just says, open challenge. And whoever's in charge just goes, yep, go out to the ring. And your opponent will make themselves known. Swerve gets out there, takes his lovely jacket and belt and stuff off. Stands there facing the entranceway. Come on, come out here, come on.
Let's be having you.
Yeah. No, don't worry. Suddenly, wham! Jump from behind. How did he not see that coming? I'll tell you how. Because it's the guy in his corner. It's Prince Nana versus Swerve Strickland, number 6. It'd keep me watching.
I'd be like, what?
We in the money.
I love him.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com.
real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Right. Let's talk about something I'm very, very, very excited about tonight on this weekend on Collision.
Yes.
The debut of one of our favorite tag teams ever, possibly. Not to be too hyperbolic. It was certainly a team that we feel were massively underutilized in WWE.
That grossly understates it. They weren't underutilized.
Yes.
They were absolutely and completely decimated in terms of their credibility. Because you made Zach Gibson Kane.
Yeah, you gave him
He's one of the best heel promos of his generation.
Yes.
And you made him f***ing Kane.
They are.
Glenn Jacobs.
They are grizzled young veterans.
David Puel's number one. Absolutely blacking that you've got a New Japan World subscription.
I can't do it very well. I'm very, very biased. I would still be biased, I'd like to think, even if we hadn't had him in WCPW. But he was great to work with, and he did get one of the most unforgettable promos with, you know, it was the Bullet Club peak in terms of, like...
You could do it better than me. I want to hear it.
He says... Look at all you fans out there in your Bullet Club t-shirts, absolutely blagging that you've got a New Japan subscription. There are only two subscriptions that come out of your bank account. Number one is a subscription to the WWE Network, and number two is a subscription to Pornhub Premium.
Died.
He's the best! Now, I'm a little bit confused as to what they're doing, because... I mean, I'd take a squat. I'd take anything, to be perfectly honest. They're going to be on the show tonight, this weekend. I keep forgetting that. They're debuting. One would assume that would just be a typical such-and-such in-action gimmick, and they get two chumps out there for them to just absolutely destroy. And yet, they called out the Acclaimed, despite the fact, Michael Sidgwick, sort of leaning into what we talked about in the news this morning, despite the fact that Max Caster seemed to imply on social media that he's been suspended.
And it's three members of the Acclaimed.
James Drake said, AEW is where the best wrestle, and to be the best, you need to fight the best. So this Saturday, live on Collision, the GYV make their AEW debut. We're coming to make a statement. And Gibson says, Acclaimed, you two have been on our radar for years now. Two lads with unrivaled potential. But how you choose to use that potential doesn't sit right with us. Too caught up making you funny little jokes. Too busy scissoring each other. You two an embarrassment to the job that we love. So this Saturday on Collision, you two lads are going to learn a very, very important lesson from the grizzled young veterans.
You know what's just occurred to me?
What's that?
If, in fact, grizzled young veterans become all elite...
We always say no more, but two more.
Two more, no more, three more, actually. I need Trevor Lee.
Absolutely.
Right. If, in fact, GYV become all elite, something's just occurred to me.
I think I've just hit with a note, yeah.
That your day is going to be longer and our podcast recording time is going to be delayed.
Yeah.
Because you're going to be transcribed word for word.
What comes out of Zach Gibson's mouth.
Indeed. Do you want some bad news?
Go on.
I don't think they're winning.
What?
I don't think the Grizzled Young Veterans are winning.
Do you think they are facing the Acclaimed then? And this is
I think Max Caster's just an attention-seeking idiot.
Okay.
Quite frankly. I don't think he's suspended at all.
No.
Because this match was announced after Dynasty, which is where that his latest awful rap
yes.
was cut. So I think it will be the Acclaimed, the original incarnation, versus GYV. And I think the idea is, you know, they parachute in different wrestlers from different companies or free agents to lose, what, once every 3 weeks? Like, Hechicero, Timothy Thatcher, Izumi.
Mm.
There's a million examples. Like, Akiyama. You know, there's a million. I think they're the latest in this line. And I think as well, if you look at the going down the line here, you've just crowned a new set of heel world tag team champions. You need babyface opponents for them. And even if only one person, Tony Khan, recognizes recognizes Max Caster as a babyface. He is still nominally a babyface. And the Acclaimed, at this stage in their run, they've had their peak. They are still over enough to get a respectable number, maybe, on a Dynamite or a Collision. You need TV matches for the books. This feels to me like it's a way of just setting that up. I think the GYV are the latest in a long line of novelty people who do jobs.
Mm.
And I hate that. And you know what? I don't know the contractual status. They've turned up for TNA, correct?
They're on TNA stuff. They're starting their own promotion, I believe, in Liverpool, maybe.
Yeah, as far as I'm aware, TNA on, they're doing like per date
deals. Yeah, they're not signed as far as I'm aware.
So I don't think they're bound anywhere long term. So maybe if they really do impress, and by the way, it'll be a crime. You know what they should do here? Max Caster should do the rap. Well, he never should. But it's unrealistic to think he wouldn't. He should do the rap in response to the Zach Gibson promo that he absolutely 100% needs to cut live.
Yeah,
I agree.
So if Gibson gets heat with the promo, I'll be so irritated if he doesn't get to cut one. People have got no idea. Well, some people have an idea. I don't want to say that. Oh, there's a secret wrestler.
Only
I've heard of. A lot of people don't have that much of an idea, particularly if you've watched them in NXT. No one watched, and literally no one knows about the NXT UK run because not a single soul watched that program. he absolutely should cut a promo. If he gets a really good bit of heat during that promo and this match is really good, I think then they'll start talking. But for me, at the minute, it's either latest import or maybe even a workhorseman run where inexplicably one of the best tag teams on the entire scene is treated in AEW like jobbers.
You're wrong. I think you might be right, but I hope you're wrong.
I think I'm right, but we'll see. Certainly, I'll be like, you know how there's three types of match. One where you know who's going to win and you would probably put your mortgage on it.
Mm-hmm.
Another one where you've got absolutely no idea and like that's very rare. And another where it's like, I have an idea and I'm 90% certain, but I'm so invested in the result that I will just cheer against all reason and rationality.
Yeah, if it isn't just a squash match to set up a potential match with the Acclaim where they're like, see what we can do and now we're going to do this to you next at Dynamite in 2 weeks or whatever it may be. Next week's Dynamite's quite busy. But if it is against the Acclaimed, I'd be more than happy to watch GYV absolutely destroy him, and that's just the write-off for... Yeah. Not write-off as in they're injured or anything, but just they lose and go, we need to go and do a bit of thinking about what we're going to do when we come back. Meanwhile, you know, Daddy Ass can challenge Swerve for the world title or something. but I hope you're wrong, but I'm concerned that you might be right with that call. Couple more matches, speaking of the Acclaimed, the guys who went over them to unify the trio's titles are in action. Talk about this, and I'll give you a little present afterwards.
Okay.
Because it's the Bing Bing Gang versus Top Flight and Action Andretti for the AW Unified Trios Championships.
I would be lying if I said I was doing cartwheels in anticipation of this match, because as good a night as he had on Wednesday, Jay White hasn't been presented particularly well by AEW. I don't think that's a remotely controversial or bad faith statement. In addition to which, the titles, Unified or whatever, have been a colossal disappointment since being launched. And quite frankly, this is the matches you kind of have to do a lot of the time. I do think they do them too often. But an establishing victory for your new champions... So, in theory, you will take them more seriously. How much this actually matters, I don't know. But they need to be on the show. The match will be fun. That is the extent of my thoughts on it. But it's necessary. And this could act as a reset of sorts. If they give them the platform and the instruction to say, like, just go out there and work a proper trios match, want some really intricate sequences, lots of excitement. You can, like, do way more saves. There's way more bodies. You can do way more dazzling, dramatic stuff in the moment. This could serve as a reset for the division if it reaches its ceiling. or if not, it could at least set the tone for... I'm not being funny. I'm not like a spot merchant. Trios matches should be entertaining and like really convoluted and breathless, all action. If we can see that tonight out of the bing-binging, then maybe people will have begin to sort of get a little bit more faith in this division.
Yeah, I just sat there thinking, I can't really name many trios off the top of my head.
No. That's the thing. When it seems like there were... How often did we say, there's a lot of trios around in AEW. Surely the launch of these titles is around the corner. Mm-hmm. And then when they were launched, they just stopped making trios.
Yeah.
Obviously, you've got like Shane Taylor Promotions, like three of the Elite. You know, there's like a lot of stables where you could sort of create sub trio units out of them. It's just not, it just felt for a while like it made all the sense in the world because there were trios just all over the show as a matter of course. Just weird how it's turned out, to be honest. Are the heels? Yeah, they're heels. Aren't they? The bing binging. Of course they are. There's not one babyface trios where I'm like, build to them.
Death Triangle?
Phoenix is... Yeah. I don't know where the hell Phoenix is. Look, Pac versus Jay White. I would love that. So hopefully get well soon, Phoenix.
Mm. But yeah, an unquestionable title retention for them.
Yes, of course. But that's the way it has to go. Yeah. And the way it should go.
Right. I said I'd give you something nice. I'm not sure if we've done this one before, but I stumbled across another two-sentence
horror
for you. I was happily eating a BLT sandwich.
Okay, right there. Right there. 2 seconds. No. Wait there. No, this is dead air, but I'm thinking, this is a bad thing to do on a podcast. Stay with us, guys. Right, okay. I was happily eating a BLT sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
But what I didn't know...
Oh.
Is that BLT stood for bones, limbs, and torso?
You're so close. It's good, but it's not right.
Ah!
I was happily eating a BLT sandwich, but my happiness turned to horror when I realized it stood for blood, lettuce, and tongue.
Dude, limbs.
Yeah, you can do it.
I mean, it'd be pretty awesome. Oh, this is a big unwieldy sandwich. Oh, it's a big arm and a leg sticking out.
And in some other good news, as we move on to the final match advertised right now, Sod's Law, like you said, they're going to announce some dream match 2 hours from now. Tony Storm faces Anna Jay off the back of what happened on Dynamite, of course. And I want to shout out Gojtron. Apologies if I've just butchered the at Gojtron on X.
That might be that, I don't know. There's always some kind of reference that. Yeah. Know, I'm not cultured enough to
get. Gojtron. Anyway. You tweeted about the insane angle to end Dynamite. And Gojtron said, agreed, anything that needs TK on screen needs a rethink. In positive news, after seeing the collision card, I can report that a sign with Toneless Timey Storm will be in arena with pretty good seats. So keep an eye out.
Yeah.
Thanks for that,
Gojtron. That's class. Thank you very much. I look forward to hopefully seeing it.
Yes, we'll keep an eye out for that one. Tony Storm versus Anna Jay could be class.
It could be really good. Anna Jay has got a good floor and an unexpectedly good ceiling. What I mean by that is she doesn't have a dud in her, really, but she doesn't have a great match in her either, apart from when she's doing a street fight and it's pretty goated.
Yes.
But no. I'm really, really into AEW's women's division at the moment. Like, you know who's going to win? It's all in the post-match. It kind of sparks your imagination. I really want to see how this Shirakawa, Mariah May stuff turns out. And I've got an idea here where Toneless Timey wins what's hopefully a really good match. If you have, go on AEW's social media, you are dumb enough to be on Twitter like us idiots, right? And scroll down, and the first time you'll see a picture, a video of Toneless Timey Storm, she did a exclusive promo where she's building the match with Anna Jay for Collision with Mariah May on her bosom. And she says, amongst other great lines, I'll clap those cheeks with a rather large bottom, and I'll clap those cheeks all the way back to Georgia. She's amazing.
Yeah.
And what's really good this time is that I instantly fell in love with Toni Storm when she said, after Wembley, it's safe to say that Wembley went tits up. I was like, you're putting tits in a wrestling promo. That's genius.
Yeah.
Keep doing that. Then I think what happened is they got a little bit too carried away.
Yes.
And then they did, right, she has to be all over the show. A lot of the comedy's broad now. And let's do the gimmick in the matches. Why you would ever do that? Maybe they thought, well, you can't have too much of a good thing. You can.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got to
remember that bit where I didn't realize that it was in picture. And I was like, why are they dedicating 2 minutes of TV time to like this silent movie? And I was like, oh, that makes a lot more sense.
And then she had like sort of the butler's serving plate in a tight.
That was convoluted, wasn't it? Yeah.
It was just really stupid. They've eventually realized, oh, we don't have to go full gimmick in the matches. And then you can get the most, you can be entertained by the gimmick and thrilled by the wrestling. Mm-hmm. That's the best of both worlds. That's ideal. They finally nailed it. And after great start, weird follow-up, to be honest, throughout, Toni Storm's confidence has never dipped.
No.
She's always had these wonderful asides, but it just feels like every single week she just gets better and better. She feels more and more invincible. So I think this match has got a great chance of being good. As we saw from Dynamite, for the first time she was framed as a sort of heroic figure. The fans are prepared to really cheer for her. I mean, she's so entertaining that she gets the majority of the good reactions in her matches to begin with before the formal face turn. So I feel like with Anna Jay basically playing a heel, I guess it's all a bit all over the place, but I don't care for once because I'm into the character and that's more important sometimes. Toni Storm will beat her and then at the end, she'll do those faces and celebrate and then she'll just turn around expecting to see her understudy, Mariah May, fawning over her, but then maybe Mariah May and Mina Shirakawa are on the outside, hugging and celebrating together, drinking champagne. I want to see Toni Storm affronted.
Yeah.
Disgusted, like a complete diva face, like the proper, don't you know who I am?
Mm.
Maybe that's a bit soon for this Mariah May stuff. But it's a sign of a good program that when it eventually collapses, you'll think, oh, that already? But you're thinking, oh, no, it's just gone on for a long time. Yeah, we've just been really enjoying it. So maybe it's time to do something like that. I don't know. But obviously, Toni Storm will have Serena Deeb at Double or Nothing. Forbidden Door isn't... Maybe you could have Toni Storm and some... Maybe you could do it soon, actually. Or do the proper turn at Double or Nothing mm-hmm. with the tease I've just suggested before tonight, tomorrow night. And then you could have Toni Storm teaming with a few people from AEW against Mariah May and some Stardom talents.
I like that a lot. Yeah, that's a really good idea. One little thing I wanted to suggest for this.
It means your fantasy booking. Yeah. It means you're actually invested.
And that's obviously Toni Storm beats Anna Jay here.
I think Anna Jay, because of the cheeks and clap stuff, we'll do our own. This'll finish a theft. Happens all of the time. I'm always more appreciative of it when it really works in context. She was like, oh, you're going to have a go at my arse? Well, here's this. And then Anna Jay could do her own hip attack.
I like that, yeah. But during this match, we should cut to footage backstage of Serena Deeb watching this on a monitor and meticulously making notes because she's this...
studious.
Yeah. And then you can have, subsequently, the parody version of that, where, like, instead of watching just the TV show, Luther's setting up, like, an old-fashioned camera.
Like a projector.
Yeah, like a projector thing, and that's how Toni Storm's making notes on Serena Deeb, because she's not unprofessional, she's
that's
just
old-fashioned. That's what happens when you have directions, and you have characters and attributes and personalities, and I know I'm sounding like the Bad Faith Grifters, but it's the worst thing that they do is... they have a kernel of truth to what they are saying and then apply it in the worst possible ways.
Exactly. But looking forward to Collision this weekend. Let us know your thoughts ahead of it on X at WhatCultureWWE. Well, actually, you can follow both of us. You can follow Michael Sidgwick at...
M. Sidgwick.
Follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at What Culture WWE. As I said, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from. For daily wrestling podcasts, the SmackDown preview is available right now. Wrestle Culture coming your way later on today. And me and Sidge will be back on Monday to review AEW Collision. But for now, this has been the Collision Preview. My thanks to Sidgwick. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.